In the fall of 2012, then-Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warned that the U.S. was facing the possibility of a cyber Pearl Harbor and was increasingly vulnerable to foreign computer hackers who could dismantle the nation's power grid, transportation system, financial networks, and government. And according to a recent poll of defense leaders conducted by Defense News, cybersecurity is the top threat to U.S. national security. On Thursday and Friday at South Dakota State University in Brookings, the South Dakota World Affairs Council examined cybersecurity during its annual symposium. On Thursday evening, cybersecurity, information technology, and defense consultant Michael McNerney delivers the keynote address, Cyber War: How the Internet Changes World Conflict. McNerney helped draft the Obama administration's comprehensive legislation on cyber issues. He also worked in the Department of Defense Office of General Counsel on internet-related matters. He recently relocated to Palo Alto, California. He joins us on the line. And Mr. McNerney, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with you guys.
Well, I mentioned a little bit of what Leon Panetta said over a year ago. Has anything changed since then, and how vulnerable are we?
Well, things have probably gotten a little bit more hectic. I hesitate to use the word worse, but maybe even worse. As we've seen just from recent news, the number of very high-profile hacking incidents has actually kind of increased. So, if anything, the situation is becoming more dire, as time goes on.
When you say hectic, just that there's so much happening, it seems like day after day there's something new.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's every day there seems to be a revelation of some kind of a new intrusion or some kind of a new attack, and it does seem to be increasing at pace and at scale.
When we're talking about these intrusions, are these coming from countries like China, Russia, or Iran, or independent groups, independent actors?
Well, it's kind of coming from all of the above, and I'll say sometimes the lines aren't completely clear as to whether it's a government action or whether it's some kind of private organization or collection of activists, but it's coming from everywhere. We see a lot of espionage coming from, our kind of state-level competitors like China and Russia. And we see a lot of crime emanating from large-scale criminal enterprises, a lot like the mafia, many of whom are based out of Eastern Europe. And then we still see the occasional lone wolf, basement packer. And then the last kind, as we've seen with people like Edward Snowden, is the insider threat, someone who has, access to information from the inside and kind of takes off with it.
That makes it sound like this is a problem that seems impossible to deal with because it's coming from so many different areas and the actors have different motivations.
That's absolutely true. I think it's helpful to try to think about this not just in terms of who can do what, but who wants to do what, right? So it's a matching of capability and intent, and that can kind of help you work through this a little bit, right? So, nation states like China and Russia, they have the greatest capability, but I would argue not necessarily the most intent to harm us because, we would find out eventually and that would be an act of war. Whereas, criminal enterprises, they're much harder to pin down, they're harder to find, they have high capability, they have high intent, and they do a lot of the hacking that we see today.
For a historical perspective, did there come a time when the U.S. government first realized that, hey, cybersecurity was really going to be, if not already, a major problem?
I think the government as a whole has kind of learned to appreciate this over the last 15 years. It's only really become a top five, top three even national security concern probably in the last couple of years. Not to say there haven't been people who have been paying attention to it, they have, but as a real priority, it's been more of a recent phenomenon.
When you're dealing with the international conflict, does this change the way we see the way we'll be dealing with our enemies? For example, we mentioned countries, China, Russia and Iran. I don't know if we want to necessarily call them enemies because in some cases we're actually quite cooperative with them. But how do we – are we moving the battlefield to the Internet?
Excellent question. To some extent, yes. Although a lot of what we've been talking about, especially with regard to Russia, China, and Iran, is really espionage, right, which is not something that's new in, you know, the relationships between nations, right? Espionage has happened for hundreds of years, if not longer. So it's a matter of scope and it's a matter of kind when it comes to espionage. Now, I think the real question is, does the Internet make that espionage so easy and so pervasive that it does become a more fundamental threat to our society, whereas previous espionage was relatively low level by comparison?
And how easy is this? It seems like, as we were talking about earlier, that these threats are nearly every day. There's something new. How easy is hacking?
I mean, it's relatively easy. And hacking, you know, there are people that you know, it's kind of a positive and a negative term. To use the negative sense of hacking, it's relatively easy, depending on, of course, your target. The government agencies that you would hope would have the best defenses do. So it's harder to hack into the Department of Defense than it is to hack into someone's personal computer. So it's kind of a scale. But that being said, I would say that the offenders, the people who are on the offense right now, have the upper hand.
So how difficult is it for us to stay, can we stay one step ahead?
I think we can. I personally, even though this has been a little bit of a dire conversation so far, I'm personally optimistic. Part of the reason I came to Silicon Valley is because I believe in American ingenuity, particularly in the tech space. And I believe we can develop solutions to these problems, and I believe we're starting to do so. You know, the problem is that the Internet, you know, wasn't really designed in the beginning with security in mind, and so we're having to catch up. And I do think we're doing a good job of that now. We have a little bit further to go.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Michael McNerney. He's a cybersecurity, information technology, and defense consultant, and he's delivering the keynote address on Thursday at the South Dakota World Affairs Council's symposium. The keynote address is Thursday evening. The symposium continues on Saturday, and the discussion is over cybersecurity. Now, you were just talking about moving to Silicon Valley, and you've been there, what, for about a year?
Yeah, just about a year.
And this is the place that you see as really kind of the key to the nation's cyber defense?
I see a couple places as kind of centers of gravity in this kind of cyber environment. Silicon Valley is certainly one of them, but it's not the only one. There are centers of innovation all over the country, and I would certainly be encouraged to see more and more pop up. Now, personally, I grew up in California, so it was a natural fit for me to come back here.
What is the environment regarding cybersecurity in California and Silicon Valley versus being in the Defense Department working in Washington, D.C.?
I think there's a slightly more nuanced view out here in California. I think that there's a more of a private sector view, which I think is important. If you think about the Internet, if you think about cyberspace, it's really the only kind of man-made and private sector-operated domain. And by domain, I mean like air, sea, space, land, you know, our normal domains of warfare. Cyber is one that's completely run by the private sector. So I think it's important to have that viewpoint, and that's why I think places like Silicon Valley or places like Boston or, name your place, there are a couple of them in the country, are adding a vital perspective to this discourse.
What should the relationship be between the private companies and government?
Wow, that's an excellent question. I think in some ways that is at the crux of this issue right now. How can private companies not only come up with the innovative solutions needed to help defend themselves and defend the nation, but how can they be incentivized to work with the government, especially in a way that doesn't have the government, issuing a heavy-handed or over-regulatory response? I think these are the essential questions that need to be worked out in order for us to really secure cyberspace.
And that's been the problem over legislation that's been proposed, all because of the allegations that they erode privacy on the web by encouraging this public-private partnership between internet companies and federal government. How difficult is it to achieve that balance of internet freedom, private issues, and national security?
It's been difficult. I think it's been relatively undiscussed until recently. I think the Snowden kind of revelations have brought that issue to the forefront. My personal opinion is that, you know, we need to be security conscious, but in my mind, we need to view security as the means, not to an end, right? We have security to protect something valuable, and that should be things like, you know, our infrastructure, yes, but also our American values. And if we lose sight of that, then I think the balance is out of whack. And that may have been what has been happening for the last few years. So, you know, we're just now starting to rethink some of those balances and rethink our position when it comes to the relationship of the state and security.
There's part of the problem of the debate is, I think, just defining what those American values are.
Absolutely right. Again, I think that's something that hasn't really been discussed, and I'm very, you know, encouraged if there's a silver lining to some of the you know, national security secrets being leaked, is that people are starting to think about this. They're starting to think about what kind of a government, what kind of a security apparatus they want to have, and are starting to voice those opinions to the government, and I think that is a very good thing.
And that led to President Obama's speech and proposals on Friday. So this is helping, whatever you may think of Edward Snowden's actions, that they're helping us with this conversation over cybersecurity?
I do think so. I mean, I think that it's – I don't know if that was his intent or not. I think that what he did on balance was bad. But if there is a silver lining, it is that we are having this discussion – as Americans, about what kind of place we want to live in, and that did spur the president to take that action and deliver that speech that he gave just a few days ago.
Now, also in the news recently, the Target security breach, does you mentioned that you're positive, but how do you convey that to the average Americans when their own personal finances are in danger?
Yeah, I think that ordinary, you know, everyday Americans are at risk. I think, unfortunately, the system that we have set up now places too much onus on them. I mean, if you think about your own interactions on the web, you have, I don't know how many websites, dozens of websites that you visit. Each one requires a different password, you know, with different special characters. And if you don't have your Wi-Fi set up, it'll be insecure. I mean, there are a thousand different things for you to think about as a consumer. And it's not really feasible to do that. So I think we need to come up with a different system. The answer is not quite there yet, but it's something that doesn't put so much onus on the consumer, because you can't expect people to be able to be experts in all of these matters.
We're talking to Michael McNerney. He'll be at SDSU on Thursday and Friday. You're giving the key address on Thursday and then the symposium on Friday. What sort of things are you planning on talking about and discussing with the panels at the symposium?
I'm really going to focus on the international aspects of cyberspace and of cyber conflict, on national security, on cyber war, for lack of a better phrase, and how the internet and cyberspace in general are impacting the use of national power.
And looking at that, How do you see the internet changing the way that we relate to other countries, whether our adversaries or our allies? And a lot of that came up during the Snowden revelations.
I think there are some very important, almost philosophical changes that are going on right now, right? We're in the middle of the information age, and this is the beginning of information age diplomacy and information age warfare. And we are just seeing how this is starting to impact us. So the first thing is that obviously secrets are much, much harder to keep, which is very important for international relations. Economic data, privacy information, intellectual property, all of those things become harder to safeguard. We didn't really have to think about that much before. And then on the other side, for closed societies like China and Russia, they may have a harder time keeping dissent and stemming free speech because of the internet. So it's not just the Western countries like us that have to worry about the internet changing their lifestyles, but some of the more closed and repressive countries do as well.
And then we see the role of Twitter in the Arab Spring of a couple of years ago.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So for us, you know, the loss of economic data kind of undermines our capitalist society, right? For China, for Russia, the freedom of expression, the free flow of information may be more damaging to them than their loss of intellectual property. So it's going to be affecting different countries differently.
This is, given the dangers and some of the dire warnings that we're also talking about with something like the internet, even though we're concerned about cybersecurity, I would think this is also, as in any time of history when you have these big changes, this is a rather exciting time to be around.
I sure think so. I mean, I've definitely chose this career because of that. And there are things that are going to be changing and happening very, very quickly. I mean, just think about some of the other major revolutions that we've had, right? The Industrial Revolution, for example, how quickly that changed, societies across the globe. I think that we're in the middle of one right now, and it is very exciting not only to see it happen, but for those of us who are working in it to actually be able to kind of write the rules of the road as we go along.
Well, Mr. McNerney, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and safe travels to South Dakota.
Thanks so much. I look forward to it.
That's cybersecurity expert and defense consultant Michael McNerney. He delivers the keynote address on Thursday evening at SDSU during the South Dakota World Affairs Council Symposium on Cybersecurity. His address begins at 7 in the Wahlstorf Ballroom in the Student Union. He also opens and closes symposium events on Friday. The South Dakota World Affairs Council is a nonpartisan, nonprofit grassroots network dedicated to educating and engaging the public on critical global issues. And for more information, you can visit SouthDakotaWorldAffairsCouncil.org.